This is Colin Dixon with Endscreen Media, and I'm speaking with Michelle Munson, who is co-founder and CEO of Alluvio. And Michelle, you have a solution that I think will ease a lot of people's minds about not getting live music. You have a solution for concerts based on the Alluvio fabric, and I'm really excited to hear about that. So why don't you tell us, why did you create this specific application for Alluvio? Because there's loads of concert platforms. So what's the difference between those and Alluvio?
Yes. Just first off, the platform's called Alluvio Live, and it really is born out of what we've always wanted to do with the content fabric, and really came into due to the changing forces of the last year. First of all, let me explain a little bit about what the platform is. It is, I believe, the world's first 4K streaming and blockchain ticketing platform for premium video experiences, which can be live or pre-recorded and streamed as live. And we decided to do this for a few reasons. First and foremost, one of the main reasons for building a scalable, decentralized network for content in the first place was to really realize the dream of making it possible for artists and publishers to be able to self-distribute. And for us, that meant you really had to, you know, do it right, make it possible for it to be premium and to also give them the chance to really monetize, which is not only having the integrated ticketing and rights experience, but then to also have enough efficiency that they could really make money without having the platform removed from the return. The other thing that happened with the pandemic year is that everybody's minds opened up, and we were frankly approached by several production companies last summer, and we were starting to get into integrated ticketing on top of the blockchain contracts. And really this formed pretty organically. A few opportunities around premium artists came to us, and we decided that it was time to really, you know, bring what has been the content fabric as an API platform for media enterprise to a level of turnkeyness that we could then support artists doing direct distribution. And we decided to focus on live events specifically because they really have the greatest need. If you look at the existing technology that's out there, particularly for concerts that have a really strong video emphasis, the video quality is very uneven. A lot of times it's nowhere near today's sort of consumer grade standard.
Right.
And then on top of that, most of what you consider the e-commerce to actually sell tickets and merchandise and any other derivatives, now we're into NFTs, has really been a hodgepodge. Usually it's bolted on to the distribution platform. It's sometimes a separate provider. There's also subscriptions. And then finally is the monetary situation. And then the premium platforms, of course, that exist that do a better job with the video usually take the content for advertising and then keep the advertising dollars and the data. So it's really a bad trade-off using existing technology for the artists and publishers. And so we thought this is a moment to bring out the content fabric in a way that is really transformational. The last thing I would say is maturity. You met us when we were launching at IBC in 2019, and we've been very lucky with the partnership of some pretty big studios and broadcasters to be driven to mature this to quite a point, and that helped us a lot to be able to have the feature set to make this something that's really easy to manage and is a full, as I said, turnkey experience.
Right. So let's talk a little bit about that experience and how you can create something that's a lot more immersive, I think, than we're typically used to with this. And that's one of the things is multi-camera angles. Tell us what you're doing there.
That's right. Well, so all of the features of Alluvio Live build directly on the content fabric primitives. And there's a few things working here that make these things possible. Even before I talk about multi-view, I want to say a bit about the streaming itself. So folks, if they haven't learned about the content fabric, it is a decentralized network for just-in-time video. It's built for truly real-time, low latency, high quality streaming. And that allows us in a sort of composed way, if you will, to do features and interactivity that have had to be done in a much more bespoke manner before. So one of the great features of this that's very popular is the idea and the capability to have multi-camera views, where the client, such as on Apple TV, for example, or mobile, or even just your browser, for example, can offer the user the ability to switch camera views, where those camera views are really built by an object in the fabric that is dynamically composing not only the sequence, but then also responding to the user's request for rich view without requiring the player to reload a new playlist or load a new manifest. And that just builds directly on our technology for programmatically in software, synthetically serving out that playlist and serving out the streaming segments in response to the user's request. Had we not worked so hard to get this whole end-to-end pipeline, you know, working well, we wouldn't have the ability to do this, but now we're really building on top of that. The other thing I want to say about the audience experience that I think is a really big deal, and we're seeing this, is that I think people really desire not only to get across different platforms, but they also want to have good flexibility in what they do with the content. You have the live show itself, and then you also have what you would consider backstage or pre-release kind of material that's interesting to the audience and is going on and is an opportunity to go deeper into the artist's life and their experience. And then there's also follow-on opportunities to take what was content in a live show and build it into longer formats like films. And so far, in all the cases that we're involved in, each of these things is being really put together. And that also builds on the Content Fabrics model, where not only are the live feeds effectively recorded and becoming VOD objects, but it's also possible to bring these different objects together into different site experiences. And that's the one other thing I might mention is the event sites that you see, which bring together what is the really a high resolution website with information and the metadata about the event, plus the ticketing, the ticket packages and the merchandise, and then finally the ticket redemption and the streaming experience, that's all built off of content objects and the presentation side of the fabric that acts as its own CDN. So again, drawing on what we've been doing with our enterprise customers, but getting to a point to offer that in a more turnkey fashion. It's also something that helps us to manage this, and we're in the middle of that right now, so it's actually been really, really exciting.
I'm sure. And since we are talking music, I should certainly ask you about the music quality itself, multi-channel and maybe Dolby Atmos?
Yeah, well, so in terms of the audio, the most important thing that we care about is synchronization, of course, with the video, especially as we have multi-camera views. And that's another great thing that we can do across this kind of a model. When you're switching views, for example, the same audio is part of multiple different video views, so we don't risk having a going out of sync. And then also on all formats of audio, as you would think about it, from stereo to 5.1 and beyond. And the nice thing about the fabric is we can keep extending that as the audio technologies get better and better. So.
Right. And boy, that's keeping that audio synchronized and with no breaks when you switch, that's pretty tough to do, right?
Well, and I think it's not what we have learned, and I think it's a good idea in terms of technology, is that doing the heavy lifting of trying to sort of bespoke make the perfect feed is not the right approach. It doesn't scale. And instead, some of these good principles that we took from the get-go with the fabric, where we're really creating, if you will, data representations of the media that are time code aligned by definition, allows us then to produce different outputs that are going to have sync. And that is how these streams work. I also think it's important to emphasize encryption, because that is another fact on the premium side, where there has been very difficult for artists to get access and producers to what you would consider sort of first rate authorization and encryption and DRM. And if it did exist, it would be in a more walled garden kind of environment. And the point of this is to give those technologies without locking them into a a particular platform.
One thing you do enable as well to more closely replicate the concert experience is the ability to actually buy stuff, right?
Yes. And so I also want to say a little bit about the blockchain side of this, because this is a time people have a heavy interest in what the way blockchains work. We have taken what is a typical e-commerce experience, but really backed that through the blockchain contract that is part of every object in the fabric. And that means we can have not only what you would think of as digital tickets that are allowing purchasing and access, but we can also carry that through to other types of derivatives, like, for instance, NFTs you would create. And then finally, the digital payments that we integrate with that also work well for physical merchandise. And I think that's something where, as I'm learning the industry, the notion of what is exciting fan merchandise is really broadening right now, thanks to what's happening not only with NFTs, but also just what's possible.
Right. So that's the non-fungible tokens that really enables me to own a piece of the concert, own my own customization of that concert, right?
That's right. But one point that I think the whole industry is going to get wiser to as people see not only what's possible, but the other side is those token values really rely on not only authenticity, but also some degree of exclusivity. That is that there are only as many in existence, or if I own something, that I truly am the only owner, for example. And one of the things that's been a challenge in typical NFT systems is that the content itself that the NFT refers to, that digital content, is often in a third-party storage or if you will, a storage system that itself does not secure access, not in any way that connects back to the NFT contract. And one of the great things about the fabric is that we have the ability to make any digital content experience, streaming, for example, an evolving streaming object, for example, a downloadable experience, a lifetime ticket, to really back that with encryption and authorization that's tied to the contract itself. And I do believe that's going to be very, very important. It certainly is in some of these early things that we're doing with NFTs.
And it's also, as you say, low latency, so 2 to 4 seconds delays. And also very scalable, right?
Yes, but again, not by magic, by a lot of hard work to get, you know, to this point. So one of the very nice things about the streaming approach in the fabric, it isn't just in time. It also allows for the fabric's decentralized routing and, if you will, the lightweight node scaling and, if you will, caching of what has been served before to serve all of the audience. And then this allows us to achieve a network scale that really is no longer limited by the core bandwidth, for example, between the nodes. And it also allows us to build on, if you will, even in those cases of multi-view, multiple audience members can be served with what has been served to others. So that caching is very universal, if you will, in the egress function from the fabric itself. And finally, I wanted to add, we have in this process ended up scaling the fabric a lot, by many multiples of what it was a year ago, both in terms of number of nodes and bandwidth. And we'll keep doing that as we, you know, have the need for it. But it's been very exciting for us.
Very good. And I guess the only last piece that we should mention is a very attractive business model for the content providers, right?
Yes. Well, one of the intentions and upshots of this is that our platform only charges a transaction fee. We don't charge any distribution or infrastructure fees. And the idea is to benefit everybody in the transaction itself. And that's a modest fee, right? Our default is 10% of the revenue or the sales price on the ticket sales and the merchandise. And as we get deeper into other forms of derivatives, you know, that may vary some, but our ability to be able to do that comes from the efficiencies.
Very good. And you're already on Apple TV and on Roku, right?
Yeah, well, we built both an Apple TV app and a Roku app. We haven't released those both, but we're going to in this next, actually within 3 weeks, because we have our first event coming up at the end of this month.
So, how exciting. Very exciting. Well, hopefully you'll come back and tell us about how that event goes, because I'm very looking forward to seeing it myself. Michelle, thank you for telling us about the Great Solution. And so where do people come to find out more?
Oh, thank you so much. Our website is live.elu.io.
Very Thanks. Good. And I'll include a link to our previous interview, which will give people a lot more information about the Alluvio fabric.
Thank you. Really appreciate it.
Thanks so much for talking with us, Michelle.
You bet. Wonderful.
This has been Colin Dixon with Endscreen Media.